Thank you for your ministry to us tonight. Let's come before the Lord as we look at his word. Our Father, we thank thee tonight that the blood has been applied. Remember that the promise to those children of Israel in the land of Egypt was, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Thank you for the blood of Christ tonight that cleanses us from all sin. And so now, God, as we just look at your word, we pray this pages would shine before us. We may feel our insufficiency and our weakness before thee in moments like this. And we draw strength in thee tonight, O God, and ask for your help and for your blessing in the moments that lie ahead. May the Holy Spirit do business for eternity. May souls be saved and glory and honor brought to the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're turning to the book of the Acts tonight, the Acts of the Apostles. And we're turning to chapter 16, to a great need in our Bible. And with many great needs in our Bible, Exodus chapter 12, that night when the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt, the promise of God, as we've prayed already, was, when I see the blood, it will pass over you. Great need in our Bible in Daniel chapter 5, when Belshazzar made that feast down in Babylon. And as the feast was flowing, the fingers of God appeared and wrote on the wall. Thinking about Matthew chapter 26, that great night in Gethsemane, when the Lord Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done," but he went to the cross for us. And this is another great night in our Bible, in our New Testament, in the book of the Acts. And chapter 16, Acts chapter 16, and I want to begin to read at verse 23. Acts chapter 16, and verse 23. "And when they had laid many stripes upon them," that's Paul and Silas, "they cast them into prison, charging that the jailer to keep them safely." Now, it's very important, this verse, because I want you to see at the end of the verse that somebody comes onto the pages of Scripture. You call him the jailer. Okay, in verse 23, it says the jailer was to keep them safely. If you haven't a Bible, just listen to the words tonight. Verse 24, "Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosed. And the keeper of the prison," that's the jailer, "awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then the jailer called for a light, and he sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word tonight. I want you to think tonight with me about believing and being baptized. Believing and being baptized. And I want you to think in the passage of Scripture that we have read tonight, I want you to think in verse 30 tonight and verse 31, I want you to think first of all about Earth's greatest question. I've asked the boys to put it up on the board tonight, but because it's the entrance of God's word that gives light. And they can say all they can, they could preach for 2 hours, no problem. But it's the reading and the inspiration of God's word that brings salvation. And I want you to think tonight about Earth's greatest question. Earth's greatest question. Here's what the jailer asked that night in the jailhouse in Philippi. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" Earth's greatest question. And then I want you to think tonight about heaven's greatest answer. Here's what Paul and Silas answered him that night. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Paul and Silas were on a missionary journey. They were in the town of Philippi, the city of Philippi, in Macedonia. They had received a call back in verse 9 of this great chapter of chapter 16. The Spirit of God had led them in a particular way. They wanted to go one way. The Spirit of God led them another. And one night, Paul had a dream. He had a vision. Verse 9, it tells us in this vision, in this dream, there appeared a man of Macedonia, and he was saying, "Come on over into Macedonia and help us." And so Paul took it to be from God himself, and so it was. And he heads into the land of Macedonia. He goes to the city of Philippi, and when he lands in the city of Philippi, he stays a day or two, and then the Sabbath day comes. And on the Sabbath morning, Paul and Silas were out walking. Perhaps they were looking at a synagogue to go to, or a church. And they came to a riverside, tells us there in verse 13 of how it was a Sabbath day and how they came to the riverside. And when they came to the riverside this particular Sabbath morning, there was a prayer meeting happening, a prayer meeting. And there was women at the prayer meeting. Thank God, by the way, for praying women. We have praying women in this assembly, and I thank God for them. But this was a unique prayer meeting because some of the women that were at the prayer meeting weren't saved. And there was a particular lady there, and her name was Lydia, and she was a traveling saleswoman. She was a woman who sold material and scarlet ribbon and so on. She was from a place called Thyatira, and God had made sure that Lydia was at this prayer meeting on this particular Sabbath morning, this place where this prayer was wanted to be made, and Paul and Silas met her at the riverside. You know, there's people in Ulster tonight, and they're a wee bit like Lydia. They go to the church every Sunday. And in fact, maybe they go to the prayer meeting through the week, and they're not seeing. Maybe you're here tonight, maybe under the sound of my voice tonight, and you're a churchgoer. And maybe you never miss church on a Sunday morning. And you see, going to church will never get you to heaven. It's good to go to church. We encourage people to come to this church. People in Lurgan go to church out of habit, out of tradition. Perhaps it had been passed down from generation to generation. And here was Lydia this particular morning, and she was at a prayer meeting, and she wasn't saved. And when Paul and Silas came, the Lord opened her heart. He opened her heart. And she attended, the verse says, on all the things that were spoken to her of Paul. And at the riverside that morning, she got saved, wonderfully saved. She accepted the Lord Jesus. She accepted the work of the cross as her own. And as we've been singing already tonight, her sins were washed away. And it was a happy day for her that fixed her choice on her Savior and her God. Verse 16 goes on to tell us of how Paul and Silas Ian came into contact with a certain damsel. She was spirit-possessed. And as Paul and Silas drew near to her, she cried out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which show us salvation, which show us the way of salvation." And Paul was grieved about this, and he turned and he said to the Spirit to come out of her, and he commanded the Spirit, and the Spirit came out of her, and this girl got saved. A second conversion this particular morning. Now those boys, and you'll always get fellas, and they were gaining off this girl, and she was soothsaying, and she was telling fortunes and different things they got, evil things they got. And these boys were getting money by exploiting her. And so they weren't pleased. because the Spirit had come out of her and she had got saved, and well, the money-making racket was over. And so they brought Paul and Silas to the magistrate, and the crowd kicked up a stink. The multitudes rose up against them, and Paul and Silas are sentenced to go into prison, and that's where we broke into the story tonight. And they were beaten. They were beaten, and many stripes, the Bible says, were laid upon them. And then on to the pages of Scripture, in verse 23, there's a man put in charge of Paul and Silas. The magistrate says to Paul and Silas, or to the jailer, see these two fellows, these two missionaries, Paul and Silas. He says, they're under your care. They're under your command. It's up to you to keep them and to securely lock them in the prison. And so this jailer comes onto the pages of Scripture. And so I want you to picture this scene tonight, just for a few minutes at the end of our meeting, in three ways tonight. I want you to try and imagine. I do this. I try to imagine these stories in my head. And so I want you to think tonight three scenes in this story. I want you to think, first of all, I want you to think about 11:30 on this particular night. The Bible tells us of happenings at midnight. And so I want you to think about 30 minutes before midnight. I want you to think of 11:30 p.m. on this particular night. And what I want you to think about is that this man at 11:30 p.m. is a careless sinner in his bed. A careless sinner in his bed. You see, this big jailer comes onto the pages of Scripture. We don't know much about him. I assume he was probably a right big fella. I assume that he had fairly broad shoulders. Maybe a mop of dark hair. Maybe a beard. I don't know who he puts you in the mind of. And this man comes on the pages of Scripture. Don't know his name. Don't know where he comes from. But all we know is that he was a ruthless, careless individual. And when Paul and Silas were put into his care, he made sure that he was going to secure them well. He wanted a good night's sleep. He reckoned there were trouble, these fellas. And so he thought what he would do is that he would put them into the inner prison first. 24 reminds us of that. Who, having received the charge, thrust them, threw them, cast them, maybe took them by the back of the neck and the backside of the trousers and threw them into the prison, the inner prison. And he found the biggest lock he could. He made their feet fast in the stocks. He didn't want any trouble out of them. He come out, he locked the door, and he heads up to his barracks, and he gets into his old bed, you know. And he's beyond to sleep like a baby. Snore like a train. And he didn't care about these fellas. He didn't care about Paul and Silas. He didn't care that it was the dampest, dirtiest, rat-infested cell that he had in the prison. They were out of the road for the night, and he was going to have a night's peace. He was a careless sinner in his bed. Maybe tonight in Lurgan, you're a careless sinner. Ah, no, maybe you're not like the jailer. Maybe you have compassion in your heart and love and so on. But you're careless in your sin tonight. Maybe tonight you're in the meeting, and maybe tonight you're 20. And you're not saved. Maybe tonight you're in your 30s. You're not saved. Maybe tonight you're in your 40s. And you're not saved. Surely you couldn't be in your 50s and not saved. Surely. Surely you're not in your 60s. And you're not yet saved. Surely you're not in your 70s now. And you're still out of Christ. Careless sinner. Each of us are plagued by sin. The Bible tells us that we all have sinned. The Bible tells us that in sin did our mothers conceive us. In our hearts is wickedness and sin. Morris reminded us of that this morning. And because Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, well, then the curse of sin is upon us all. Sin is the cancer of the soul. It eats us from the inside out. And sin, if it's not dealt with, the Bible says, brings forth death. And that was by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And all have come short of the glory of God. And you're a sinner tonight, and I'm a sinner. And there's almost 8 billion people on the planet tonight, and every one of them sinner. It doesn't really matter where you go to on Sunday. It doesn't matter what family you're from. It doesn't matter what part of the world you were brought into. It doesn't matter how many square foot the house is, how many garages you have to park all those cars. It doesn't matter. There's a great leveler in God's eyes tonight, and that is that we're all sinners. From the king on the throne to the man in the street, we're all the same. God sees us all the same. We're sinners. And unless our sin is dealt with, unless if we continue to be careless in our sin, sin will land us into a lost eternity and hell forever. Oh, to neglect your sin, to neglect salvation. Hebrews reminds us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I wonder, do you ever think about it? Certainly, if you're some of those ages that I've mentioned tonight, if you're in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, you're bound to think about the pace of life. How quickly time goes in. Just from one week to the next, James says, our life's like a vapor. Appears for a little while, it vanishes away. I love autumn mornings. I love these autumn mornings. Love the coolness of the air of the autumn morning. They just live about half a mile from what we call the bottom yard. And in the morning, when I leave the house and I'm heading down the road, some of these cool mornings, there's a mist over the lough. And it's misty and it's foggy. And just all of a sudden, sometimes a little breeze comes, a little southern breeze. Just lifts the mist, pushes it over the water, away towards Tomb Bridge. Our life's just like the mist. It just appears for a wee while, vanishes away. You're bound to have thought about the brevity of life. You're bound to have thought about the problem of sin, for all of sin. You're bound to have thought in the days that are past with COVID and everything else about the certainty of death. We stood today at a funeral service in Ashfield of a dear friend of ours, and many in this church today. And on Friday morning, he went to be with the Lord, which is very far better. We stood with his grieving family today, but they had a hope that their dad and their granddad and their husband, that John, would be in the presence of the Lord, which is very far better. But tonight you're here and you're still in your sin. And in many ways, you're like this Philippian jailer. At 11:30, you're a careless sinner. And you're in bed, as it were, and you were sleeping. And time's ticking on. 11:30. I want you to think about the second picture then. The second picture, 11:30, we have a careless sinner in his bed. At 12:00, I want you to think that we have a concerned sinner. A concerned sinner on his knees. A careless sinner in his bed. And then at midnight we'll have a concerned sinner on his knees. Because the text tells us, verse 25, it says at midnight Paul and Silas prayed. They were praying at midnight. That's a good time to pray, by the way. We prayed after midnight here on Friday night. And it was a blessing to be here. But at midnight, these men were praying. And they were singing praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. The other fellows in the prison in the neighboring cells heard them. I wonder what they were singing. I would love to know what they were singing. But they were singing this particular night. I think they were good singers. I'm not a good singer. Plenty of volume, but not much tune. But these men had tune and had volume. And they were singing, it was midnight, and they were singing praises unto God. And suddenly, verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake. It was not an ordinary earthquake. It was a God-sent earthquake. It was right on the button of midnight. If the Bible says it was at midnight, it was at midnight. And so as the clock ticked, just when it went straight, the three hands pointing at 12 o'clock, there was an earthquake on the button of midnight. At midnight, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. That's what proves to me it was a God-sent earthquake. Study the earthquake. Google an earthquake when you go home and read about it. And earthquakes come from the middle of the earth. That's when the plates collide, and then there's a tremor, and it comes up, and it comes up through the earth. And the foundations, it rocked the very foundations of the prison. And it doesn't tell us that the roof fell in, and it doesn't tell us that the walls cracked or anything like that. This God-sent earthquake, here's all that happened. The prison didn't fall down. There wasn't devastation everywhere, nothing like that. The only thing that happened with this earthquake is, look, immediately all the doors flew open and everyone's bonds were loosed. The big lock on the stocks of their feet broke in two. The doors flew open. It was a God-sent earthquake. No cracks in the walls. No cracks in the ceilings. The locks broke. The stocks opened. The doors flew open. God has sent an earthquake. And you notice what happened in verse 27. The keeper of the prison awoke out of his sleep. Imagine the panic. You ever woke out of a sound sleep? It's not a very nice experience, is it not? For a moment or two, you're sort of anxious, aren't you, when you're waking out of your sleep. Maybe a loud noise or something like that. Imagine this creator on his bed, and he's sleeping, and he's snoring like a train, and all of a sudden there's a mighty earthquake. And he wakes out of his sleep, and he jumps up, and in a second or two, his mind's working overtime, his mind's racing, and he sees the doors open, and he realizes what's happened. Remember that it's dark, he calls for a light in a minute. So remember, there's darkness and there's chaos in the jail at Philippi. And what's the first thing he thinks of? Aim for it. And so the Bible tells us that he drew out his sword, out of the sheath. Because the prisoners, the jailers' responsibility was that all the jailers would stay in the jail. And if even one escaped, it was a death sentence for him. And so he reckons in his own mind very quickly, the best thing for me to do here is just whip the sword out. I'll fall on my own sword and it'll save all the court martialing and everything else. It's a foregone conclusion anyway. And somehow, some way, let's remember that Paul and Silas are in the inner prison. They're a fair wee bit away. But God, I believe, speaks to Paul in verse 28. And Paul cries with a loud voice, "Don't do yourself any harm. Do yourself no harm." And the echo of Paul's voice echoed through the chambers of that prison to the jailer's barracks on this occasion. And this big man is broken. And the Spirit of God has begun to work with him. Verse 29 says that he calls for a light. Some sort of a torch, maybe, with a flame coming out of it. He calls for a light. There was no electric. He calls for a light. And then the second thing happens. He springs in. He runs down the corridor to the inner prison cell. He springs in. As fast as he can go down the corridors into the inner prison. And then he trembles. He's trembling. It's three men in the Bible trembled as far as I see. Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. in the palace that night when God's hand wrote on the wall. It said that his knees, he trembled. His knees smote one again the other. A Roman governor by the name of Felix, later on in Acts, Paul preaches, and such is the impact of Paul's preaching to him that he trembles. And here's this jailer in the jail, in the prison house at Philippi. He calls for a light, he springs in, he comes trembling. Mind, it's a good place to, when you get this far. You know, when the Spirit of God was working with someone, when they get to this particular point, they're ready for salvation. And so he calls for a light, he springs in, he trembles, he falls down on his knees. And he asks this great question that we're thinking about tonight. Earth's greatest question. What must I do to be saved? You see, Paul and Silas answered him very simply. Paul didn't say to him, well, you need to join the Baptist church. Or you need to put a whole lot of money in the collection plate. Or you need to climb up the top of a mountain in your bare feet or anything like that. These two men were in perfect unison because if you look at verse 31, it says, Paul said, no, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say Paul said. And it doesn't say Silas said. It says they said. I believe they said it together. So earth's greatest question, the jailer answers, what must I do to be saved? And there, heaven's greatest answer comes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. A concerned sinner on his knees. And if you ever want to get salvation, there needs to be a concern in your heart. And Paul and Silas, verse 32 says, they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And Paul began to preach to him simply that night. Told him about his sin. And told him about his substitute. And told him about the blood of the cross that Leon Arne has reminded us about tonight. Told him the story of the cross and the one who he had persecuted and turned their back for so long. And then how God had met him on the road to Damascus that particular day, and how he got wonderfully saved. Perhaps he shared his testimony with him. And that moment, those moments in the prison house at Philippi, the jailer come to know the Lord Jesus as a Savior. And this is 2,000 years ago. And can I tell you tonight that earth's greatest question tonight is still the same. And this night, September 2021. The greatest question that you could ask tonight is, what must I do to be saved? And heaven's greatest answer hasn't changed, nor will it change. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. A careless sinner at 11:30 in his bed. At midnight, he's a concerned sinner on his knees. And at 12:30, he's a converted sinner on his way to heaven. He believed, and he was saved. You see, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says this, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature. Old things pass away, and all things become new. How do you know that this man got saved this night? Listen, here's what it says, verse 33. He took them, the jailer took them, Paul and Silas, the same hour of the night. Listen to it. He washed their stripes. He was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. What a change. We could have sung that wee hymn that we sometimes sing. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. At 11:30, he was whipping them. And at 12:30, he was washing them. The very stripes that he had laid on them, the very whipping, he was standing with a sponge and he was washing them, washing their back. He whipped them. He was washing them. At 11:30, he had flogged them. At 12:30, he was feeding them. He brought them into the house. And he set meat in front of them. He was whipping them. He was washing them. He had flogged them. And he was feeding them. At 11:30, he was displaying brutality. At 12:30, he was displaying hospitality. What a change. What changes a man in an hour like this? You know what changes him? God's salvation and nothing else. And God's salvation can change you. And maybe you're in the church tonight. And maybe you don't come to church very often. Maybe you're here tonight. Some of your loved ones are getting baptized. We are so glad you're here tonight. God can change your life tonight. Just like this old Philippine jailer. Would you ask Earth's greatest question tonight? What must I do to be saved? Heaven's answer hasn't changed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He and all his house. The same hour of the night, he was baptized. And in a few moments' time, our friends are going to come and be baptized. Baptism, you see, is an outward sign of an inward faith. Each of the young people that are getting baptized tonight, there's a time in their lives, and Dan will read it out tonight as they come down into the water. He'll tell you just in a sentence or two of how they come to know the Savior. They have an inward faith. There was a time in their life when they come to know the Savior, and tonight they're going to prove it outwardly to all the people gathered here tonight, to their family and their friends. It's an outward sign of an inward faith. They're saved by grace alone. When we read of baptism in the New Testament, it's a Greek word. And it's a Greek word, baptismo, which means to immerse or to dip. We believe in this church in believers' baptism. And maybe you're from a different church, and so I don't want to offend you or anything like that tonight. We don't believe in sprinkling children in this church. We believe in adult immersion, baptism, believers' baptism. When a person decides to follow Christ, this is an outward sign, and we believe in baptism by immersion. And as they go down into the waters tonight, it's a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus. They're going down into the waters of baptism, just like the Lord Jesus died and was buried in the tomb. And when Morris and I baptized tonight, and they just go under the water for a second, and when we bring them up again, it's a great picture of the resurrection of Christ. They come out of the waters of baptism in a new life. It's a newness of life. They're saying, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. It was a picture, it was a practice in the New Testament church. As those people were converted, they got baptized. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized himself by his cousin John the Baptist in the River Jordan. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached in Jerusalem on that great day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved, and they were baptized. I would have loved to have been there. Imagine baptizing 3,000 people. We'd be here half the night. We'd love to be here half the night baptizing. They baptized 3,000 people that day. In Acts chapter 8, that Ethiopian eunuch come to an oasis in the desert. He said, here's water. What doth hinder me to baptize? And they went down into the waters of baptism. And in chapter 16, we've already read of Lydia that day by the riverside. The Lord opened her heart and she was baptized. Baptism comes immediately after conversion. Unfortunately, the church has put this big gap in. It's a man-made gap. You see, Paul and Silas, when they preached to this man in the prison house, they must have preached to him about being believing and being baptized. Because the moment he got converted, the first thing he wanted to do was get baptized. And so the early Testament church and down to the generations to today, we believe and be or be tonight being baptized. Unfortunately, us preachers don't preach it enough about being leaving and being baptized immediately. As clear as day from the scriptures. But this big jailer believed and was baptized. My time's gone. I wonder, are you saved tonight? I wonder, do you realize you're a sinner tonight? Do you realize your great need? Do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven to come to this scene of time? That old hymn writer, Mrs. Alexander, wrote, "There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." And he's able and he's willing to save you tonight. He hung on the cross with nails through his hands and through his feet and shed his precious blood for you. It's the blood that atones for the soul. It's the blood of Christ that saves you tonight. It covers your sin. And I don't care who you are tonight or what you've done or what you think tonight, there's salvation for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse from all sin. And tonight there's room and there's time and opportunity for you to come to know the Savior. The poet said, get right with God and do it now. Get right with God. He tells you how you'll come to Christ who shed his blood. And at the cross, get right with God. Will you be like the jailer tonight? Will you come and accept him as your own? Take the stamp and come to know the Savior. May God help you to do it tonight. Earth's greatest question. What must I do to be saved? Heaven's greatest answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the moments that are past. We thank you for your word tonight. And we just pray, O God, tonight that even through something that Aaron and Leah has sang, something that has been read or something that's been said tonight, that the Spirit of God would use it to convict a soul. And when the preacher's voice is silent, that God's voice will be heard. May you bring the saving grace, Lord. Help someone to take that step. It's only a step to Jesus. Why not take it now? We ask it for the Savior's sake. Amen. Our closing hymn is "The Cross Upon Which Jesus Died." It's a shelter in which we can hide. There's room at the cross for you. And there's room at the cross for you tonight if you'd only but come. Let's stand to sing.
Well, we've come to that part of the evening, and I know there's friends and family in our gathering. And there's always a buzz in the church family here when a baptismal service takes place. Initially, there were two candidates, and that was about four or five weeks ago when it was mentioned. And that multiplied to eight, and we're delighted for the eight candidates who have seen the truth of baptism in God's word. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." And it's good as believers just to gladly receive the word of the Lord. And it's a joy for me personally just to read out the testimony of each before they come to the waters of baptism. These men have been busy today. Morris was preaching this morning, and Colin this evening, and we really appreciate their efforts in the gospel and in the ministry of the word. So our first candidate this evening is Jasmine Armstrong. She was born on the 20th of April 2011 and has always attended this church with her parents and brother. On the 26th of February 2016, when only 5 years old, Jasmine trusted the Lord. The kids' chorus, Salvation, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N, really made her think about the need of getting saved from her sins. She asked her daddy that night about giving her life to Jesus, and that very night she did. Jasmine knows that she has to obey God in being baptized.
And confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Lydia Garvey was born on the 15th of January 2011. She brought up in a Christian home and has always gone to this church with her family. When she was 5 years old, one night while doing her devotions with her mum, she realized her need of salvation, and she knew she was a sinner, and in childlike faith trusted the Lord in her bedroom. She wants to obey the Lord in baptism and follow him more.
Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Next, we have another young lady, Eliza Parks, was born on the 18th of April 2011, has always attended Lurgan Baptist with her family. 3 years ago, at Monday night children's meeting in Ardmore Gospel Hall, she put her faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation. She remembers the speaker was talking about Adam and Eve, and at the end, when he was closing in prayer, Eliza asked the Lord into her heart. And Eliza now wants to obey the Lord and get baptized.
Eliza Parks, in confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. next. Another young lady, Talitha Warburton, was born on the 4th of December 2012, has always attended this church with her family. Her father's performing the baptismal tonight on the 22nd of August 2019. While doing her devotions with her mum, she asked her mummy about salvation. She said she wanted to be saved but didn't get it. Her mum explained it to her and then called her dad, who was in England, and he too had a conversation with her. The next morning when she woke up, she trusted the Lord in her bedroom by herself and then went straight in to tell her mum. They then FaceTimed her daddy to share the good news. And Talitha now wants to do what God wants her to do and get baptized.
Talitha Warburton, on your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Bird was born on the 10th of September 2002 and has always come to this church with his family. It was at the age of 7 that Harry got saved at children's meeting in Warrenstown Gospel Hall. He remembered there was a song that night which really spoke to him. The song was "Let the Lord Have His Way." The line that really spoke to him was, "There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has His way." Harry let the Lord have his way that night and called upon him for salvation and told his mum when she came to collect him. He now wants to obey the Lord in the matter of baptism.
Are you more than confessing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? We baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Chris Wilkinson was born on the 9th of January 1988. Chris has a long association with the church and as a boy went to the Sunday school and BYF. After a Sunday night gospel meeting in April 2012, Chris felt very concerned about his soul, and when he went home he put his trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. Chris has been thinking about getting baptized for some time and understands that it is something the Lord expects of his children, and so he wants to put the matter right. First of a married couple. Victoria Patterson was born on the 29th of August 1985, was brought up coming to this church. She can always remember that she needed to be saved, and at the age of 12, during the summer holidays, she put her faith in the Saviour. She has been thinking about baptism for some time and has come to realise that it is a commandment and wants to put it right.
Thank you.
final candidate, Victoria's husband, Philip. Philip Patterson was born on the 18th of May, 1982, has been coming to this church all his life. Good News Club and Sunday School was an important part of his life growing up, and he recalls the night after a Good News Club meeting when he felt the need to be saved. He spoke to his mum that night about it, but didn't get saved that night. 2 days later, at Sunday School, he shared his desire to be saved, and Ronnie Pritchard led him to the Lord that day when he was only 7 years old. He and Victoria have been talking about this matter of baptism in recent days, and he wants to make the public identification with his Saviour. Took that commandment, took him at his word, and come to be baptized. We'll just close in prayer. And you know, if you have been spoken to tonight, you in the meeting, and as yet haven't trusted the Lord, very happy to talk to you afterwards, elders here, if you have a concern about your soul salvation. Please don't be embarrassed to mention to us, any one of us. And just thank you for your attendance. I'm just closing prayer. Father, we just thank you for your so great salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that he came the first time as a suffering servant, but he's coming back again as conquering king. And he's maybe coming back soon. And Father, we just thank you for the day of grace. Thank you, Lord, that it is extended to us even tonight. Lord, that you would speak on when the voice of man has gone silent. And that, Father, you would speak to individuals even in our gathering tonight. Thank you for each one who has went through the waters of baptism, who have identified themselves with Christ, not ashamed of their Saviour. Lord, I pray that you would bless each one of them. May these young girls grow up to be young women of God. And Lord, these young men just continue on with the Lord. And this married couple for Philip and Victoria as well. That Lord, you would bless them and do them good. Father, part us with your company. And part us with your blessing. And bring us to our homes in safety. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.